nothing without you holding me up. Now I'm strong enough for both of us. Both of us, both of us, both of us. I am a giant. Stand up on my shoulders. Tell me what you see. Cause I am a giant. We'll be breaking borders underneath our feet.
Welcome to the Philosophy Symposium podcast. Today's episode is a conversation with Dr. Tim Linklater from Genius Chiropractic. Tim's a relatively recent graduate, but he's got his head screwed on when it comes to chiropractic philosophy. I completed the ACP program with Tim a few years ago, and his chiropractic objective paper was one that always stuck with me. So I hope that he can delve a little bit into some of the paper, plus also a little bit on his journey, on where he is, what he's doing, and how he got to that point.
I've got Tim from Genius Chiropractic, who's recently opened up and started a clinic. And Tim, we did the ACP course. Was it 2013?
14. We did 2014. We did.
There you go. So we've known each other for a few years.
You must have aged a bit more than me. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, well, I've got no hair. I reckon you stole it all. But why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are? Because there's probably not too many people that actually know you. You're stuck in your own little country up there called Newcastle. So give us a little bit of information about who you are, where you graduated, and just what you're doing in life.
Oh, geez. Okay. How long we got? No, we love it up here in Newcastle, man. It's perfect. It's a beautiful little town. I grew up in Sydney, studied at Macquarie University. Just couldn't wait to get out of Sydney. Sydney's too fast for me. Finished the degree down there in Sydney.
What year did you graduate, Tim?
2011, I finished cool. Down there. And moved straight on up into Newcastle up here, really bought into it, love the beaches, love the fresh air, love the sort of vibe of the place. You sort of got enough big city but enough small town as well. So it was perfect like that. Don't have to pay for parking, which is pretty damn good, which is perfect for our lifestyle, man. Just felt like it was more in pace with what I do. Not that you don't want to get stuff done, but it just Sydney was a bit too fast for me. And I wanted a chance to come up here and enjoy life as well as trying to, develop chiropractic, because I got an opportunity to come up here, and that was fantastic. I really learned a lot, because unfortunately, for whatever reason, I didn't truly grasp chiropractic coming through university, I don't think, and it was really important for me with the people that helped me up here to really start to develop that, apart from some of the other stuff I was doing. It was a great opportunity for me to come up here and really get to learn how to adjust and learn how to practice chiropractic and the sort of the why. And we love it up here, man. I've been up here ever since. Got wife, kid, another one on the way. It's just,
you've been busy.
Beautiful. It's beautiful, man. Beautiful. And yeah, so we've opened up. I think at any stage in your career, if you're thinking hard enough, the apprentice is always going to try and come up with a couple of ideas, a couple of things, a couple of flares, a couple of creative differences that they think could potentially work differently or better. That was just where we were a couple of years ago. There was a couple of things that I had in my mind that, particularly with chiropractic and how we were practicing it and where I was, I just thought, you know what, this is more reflection of me. I'd love to try and do a couple of things differently. And so it was just, that was sort of where Genius Chiropractic came from. Just a chance to see if I was right or wrong, and it's going beautifully so far, man. Great fun. Great fun. We opened in November last year, October, November last year. It's fantastic, man. We've had our busiest week every week for the last 4 weeks, so we're loving what we're doing, man, and it's good fun. That's really good fun.
That constant growth is nice, isn't it, when you can sort of see it just keep bumping up each time. And, obviously it's sort of testament to the fact that you're doing the right thing and helping the people and looking after the community and getting those referrals.
Yeah, that's right. I can't understand that if you sat 10 people in a room and told them what chiropractic was and made it feasible for them to do that for whatever reason, via financially, time, whatever, opportunity, location, et cetera, I can't understand how 8 or 9 out of 10 of those people in the room wouldn't say, yeah, that's a smart thing. I really like that. That makes sense to me. I'll take that up. So, yeah, it's a pretty logical thing for me. But in saying that, I'm sure there's other people that have other ways of looking at it. But I can't understand how such a logical approach couldn't at least get 8 or 9 out of 10. Saying, yeah, that makes sense.
So do you feel like say you've been doing some health talks and some other bits and pieces, what would you feel as though is the thing let me put my little proviso hat on, because I don't think any one thing happens by itself. So constant growth in a clinic is never just a like, let's find a one tool that's going to work. There's a lot of different things. But what are the things that you because there's not too many practices I shouldn't say there's not too many practices. There's not too many people that really want to dive in head first and set up their own clinic and start from scratch. It's a tough dynamic, and I'm going to say this 100%. I'm glad I'm not doing it at the moment because of regulations and the registration boards and the fear around advertising and promotions, and just engaging with the community is obviously a little bit more restrictive than it was when I first graduated back in, well, only like 3 or 4 years ago. But like, what do you feel are the things that have made some ground? Because there's going to be some people that listen to this podcast and go, you know what, that's maybe something that I should be doing a bit more of.
You got it exactly right, Brad. There's never one thing that you'll ever do, otherwise everyone would be doing it. And all I can say is what I've done, and the beauty about our philosophy teaches us that everybody's completely different. So what works for one person might not work for another. So all I can tell you with the absolute honesty is what I did. Mm-hmm. I think you've just got to, because, man, it's unbelievably tiring when you put together everything else that would go on with your life, my life, and everything else. So I think you've got to be able to fall back on your why, or what you're doing and what's driving you, because if you don't have that, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And so, yeah, there's going to be people trying to pull you down or roadblocks or things like that. Yeah, and it'll come from both sides of the fence. But as long as you go back to, I think, that crux of why you started, you've got to have that drive. And that was just, well, yeah, I suppose that's what I had, that drive to continue. I know what chiropractic is. I know what it can do. It's a beautiful thing. It's a simple thing when it's broken down. I know that... people love what we have to offer, and that sort of drives me, man. And it, the only competition we have is with the countless suffering in this world, probably most of it unnecessary. So that really drives me, man. I don't know where it came from. I think I've just cultured it and nurtured it, but I really have this drive just to give everybody the opportunity to choose chiropractic. And then, you know, that 1 out of 10, for whatever reason, they're not ready for it yet, or it's not the right time. Well, that's no problem of mine, as long as we've told them. But I did, oh man, I'll do, man, like BJ said, you sell it within the law, without the law, in keeping with the law. It was just, making sure that people heard that. So we did, oh man, we had a whopping big opening night. That was great fun, man. We put on, you know, food, drinks, involved the local cafes, all that sort of stuff. For an opening night for people, I picked a place that was in it was a busy local road, so it's a main artery, so it's right there, it stands out, so you've got free advertising because you've got stacks of people coming past, so you can put stuff on your own land. I took a place with a that was basically like a miniature Bunnings, like an old like tiny thing like that. Yeah, exactly. So I took a place that's got a whopping big car park. It's, you know, a few hundred square meters. I think 500, 600, 700 square meters is just our car park alone, and that's just for us. So, you know, we wanted to make it convenient, because if I was going to the gym 3 or 4 times a week and I had to circle and go around 3 or 4 times around the block or try and find a park, or, you know, it wasn't there, I can understand that would get tiring. So we just tried to make it as easily stand out and different in that regards, and just make it easy for people to be able to come on in. And man, I've got people that in the middle of the winter there on the cold days, they come in, they leave the car running, just leave the heater on, get adjusted, high five, and they can walk out again because it's all there, you know. And even when you've got the kids come here, everyone's still asleep because they've come down, because we've got people coming from a little further, which always makes you feel really good and sad at the same time. There's other chiropractors that they go past that maybe haven't told them this, or etc. But yeah, if kids are asleep in the car, you know, they can just leave them there, wait for them to wake up, and then they can bring them in type thing. It's a beautiful thing, man. But
good for the environment.
We've gone out, we've done, and you always try and get out there and organise talks and lunch and learns, whatever you want to call them, health talks, lay lectures, whatever it is that we've used. Everyone knows what we're talking about. But I think they're the most, I think they're definitely the most important because for whatever reason, chiropractors have a big identity problem with the public. And so getting to put a face to the name, especially when it's been organised by somebody you've perhaps been looking after or somebody that knows a little bit about you and helps them just create that entry point or that opportunity for people just to drop their guard so that they can actually learn something without that preconceived notion of what they think chiropractic already is. That's definitely a massive thing. And we've got another one organised at the university next week. So it's just about going out there and telling the people because, I'm not sure that they know. And, oh, man, I've got no problem with going out there. I still read those old stories of I still remember Schubel with his Casterby Chiropractors book, man. And that really, I remember one story really resonated with me. When he started the clinic, he strapped the spine to his back and he was outdoor knocking and he went to get the people, you know. He knew that he had what they needed and he'd just knock on the doors and, hey, have you got any questions about chiropractic? Would you like to know anything? If not, that's no problem. You know, just move on. But, geez, it made you feel good at the end of the day that you'd really gone out there and tried to do that. And we'll do that, man. We're talking at local shops, a whole lot, anything, because when people meet you and put a face to your name, I don't think you can put a price on that, man. And it really puts it out there, that whole, like you say, positive energy, sort of like attracts like in that regard. And the universe is like, this fella's, he wants to help, he knows he can help, he backs himself and he's out there trying to put it out there. So we'll do any opportunity given to talk about chiropractic, man. You don't have to ask me twice about that. So that's,
and it's an interesting It's an interesting thing too, because how much does that cost you to do?
Well, that's free, man. Exactly right. It's absolutely free. And we spent, you're exactly right, we spent hundreds and thousands of dollars early on just doing, you know, Google advertising and Facebook advertising. And I mean, I know that there's a point to pay, and BJ always used to talk about the importance of advertising and having a presence, and we've got a presence there, but it just wasn't right for us for whatever reason, because not everything works for everybody, and it kind of felt like I was just sort of sitting back and expecting just to spend a few hundred a month and just the people would come, but there's so much misinformation and all that sort of rubbish on the internet there that this just felt that going out there and talking to people or whatever we've done, organizing talks and everything, is just, yeah, I'll do that for free every day of the week just because you love it, and I think it comes back to you. Especially when people go, you could say anything you want and it's almost just you being there is almost 90% of it, showing them that you've got something that you can prove and you're backing yourself and you're stepping out of your comfort zone. And and they really appreciate that because they realize that obviously this is something that they need to listen to.
And the passion often comes through with that, you know, like you're there doing it, not because you're getting paid, not because just because you're out there educating, you're out there committing to the cause of what what you're about and why you're doing it. And I think that, you know, reflects pretty well with your success that you have when you're doing an external screening or an external talk.
Exactly, man. Exactly. It's all there. And it all comes off the back of that. I think always rolls back to that dedication, because there's not a lot of people that like doing things for free if they don't like them. And exactly that comes back to that why I would love everybody to be given the opportunity, because it I know the cost of a missed opportunity personally, and I don't think everyone uses that Mark Zuckerberg example as one of the most famous examples. There's never anything almost as costly as a missed opportunity, when he talked about the fact that back in the days when he was trying to start up Facebook, and I think he invited somewhere between 5 to 11 people back to his dorm that night to discuss it. I think only two or three of them turned up, and they're all all three of those are billionaires today, you know. They all three of them got in, and that's them. So I know, particularly with health, the cost of a missed opportunity, and that really drives me, because it gets me up inside when you see little kids and all that sort of stuff walking around subluxated and dealing with issues that you know could be impacted by what you do. So that really drives me, man. And I think that gets you out of bed every morning to strive and to do better and that underlying principle. So yeah.
I wanted to go back a point. One of the things that you mentioned a little earlier was that you didn't grasp Chiro very well through school. Can you expand on that a little bit more? Like what did you feel like was lacking, or what did you feel like you got, or what was like, where was the disconnect? Because obviously, you know, like we're going to talk a little bit about your paper from the ACP, which is all about the chiropractic objective. But yep. I really want to understand, how did you get to a point where you had that confidence and that certainty in just knowing where your lane is? So like what was missing through school?
What was missing through school? Well, it was everything that I did through the ACP and everything that I've taught myself. There was no, to break it down simply, they just weren't teaching chiropractic. They might have been teaching something that was incredibly useful, but it just wasn't chiropractic. And there was spatterings here and there, and they were offering the same degree that unfortunately come out with anywhere else in the world. But it just didn't have the depth and the detail and the attention to chiropractic that the best ones do, like Adelaide College is about to, like New Zealand, like you talk about some of the ones in the States as well, and Life Roma and all those that are supposedly popping up now as well, which is fantastic and amazing. But it just didn't have that same level of teaching that some of those great colleges do. And that was, you know, I'm sure there'd be areas of me to blame in that regard, because maybe they expected you to go and teach yourself. There's always two sides to the story, and they might have been doing whatever they were doing for whatever they were doing it. But it appears to be a lot of people coming out of Macquarie, unfortunately, now haven't really been taught chiropractic to the level of what's possible. And that's what I definitely felt I'd been getting adjusted since. My mum had been getting adjusted since before she was pregnant with me, man. So it's just been a normal thing for me my whole life. And so there's always that somehow, I suppose, when you're a little kid or you're 15, 16, 17, 18, I was working for a chiropractor before I even finished school. I had that, you know, you just knew. You didn't have the tools to explain why, but they had that innate understanding that this shit was good. And and you didn't have the tools to explain it yet, and that was sort of what you hope to get from university when they teach you. But it wasn't until I really sort of dove into, oh man, Reggie saved me. He was first. He just connected with me. His tapes, his CDs, I've got one of his 10-hour audio, and I can almost recite that word for word. I just listen to it, man. I'm in a car that doesn't even have a stereo or a fan or a CD player, nothing. So it's just, I used to have a CD player. That was the most advanced I got, but we've gone backwards again. But it's just, man, I used to just play them over and over. I had no podcast, no Bluetooth, nothing. I just had these CDs in the car, and I'd listen to them over and over again, and that just leapfrogged me into stuff like, wow, yeah, this is why I'm doing it. And then that love and that extra something seemed to come out of your hands when you're adjusting people, and then, you know, sort of moving into Strauss, and been loving on Sig as well at the moment, and you know, it just keeps going and you keep evolving. But yeah, that was awesome. And then getting stuck into the ACP and running into like-minded people like yourself, and just, you know, there's nothing like that sense of community. I think that's so important, because that was how we evolved in, you know, communities, and the ability to sit there for 5-6 weekends of the year and touch base, man, I'd do it with you guys again. I'd come up with a different title. I'd argue my paper if I could. Just a chance to do it all again. It was, it was fantastic.
With the, like, obviously listening to tapes and being engaged, do you feel like through uni that is something that is missing? Like even if they were to introduce people to I just don't get how, like, okay, they might not necessarily buy into the philosophy, but they can probably point you in a direction of someone who can or who has been there and done it, regardless of the course. They don't need to teach it in the curriculum. Like, I mean, mind you, I think they should, but
exactly.
Like as you said, that community, like I had awesome friends through uni, you know, and,
yep.
and that support that they gave me also provided a framework for me to grow and develop. Not having as many contact hours, doing a lot more via online learning, not engaging with your peers the same as you do. Like, I feel like we're starting off on the back foot with just trying to even get to a point where we're graduating great people that have had support in a great network. And I think it all seems to then spiral from there. So, that something that we should be developing? Like, you know, like
in the university, 100%.
Yeah,
that's part of graduating you as a chiropractor. They should be teaching what it is to be a chiropractor, what it involves, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with other aspects of what they're teaching when they talk about, you know, rehab and all that sort of stuff. That might have a very useful place in society. It's just not chiropractic, and that's no disrespect to their profession at all. It's just that when people walk in your door and they are looking for a chiropractor, you should be giving them the best chiropractic they can give, because there's already somebody else that's better at rehab or something, nutrition, physiotherapy, whatever it might be, dry needling. There's already going to be somebody better at that than you. So it would make sense that the university should have at their utmost focus the graduation of the best chiropractors they can, which would speak volumes for obviously referrals and people wanting to clamber to go and study there. And you've seen that with the New Zealand college. My younger brother Matt, who's down in Adelaide at the moment, he's a chiropractor, he was a nurse, and he's a couple of years younger than me, and I'd been out for about 6 months, and he just for whatever reason had been thinking about chiropractic as well, and he said to me, hey, I think I like this. We took him up to one of the old DGs on the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
He was just like, yeah, this stuff rocks. This is awesome. Connecting with all those beautiful souls out there that love what we love. And he said, you know what, this is great. I'm in, man. And I said, well, you know what? You can't do it here, unfortunately. and that only took me 6 months. I wish I'd had the opportunity to go to New Zealand. He went to New Zealand. He comes out with the same degree that I did. But the tools that I saw them give him was unbelievably instrumental in making him the great chiropractor that he is now. Geez, he was adjusting me by the time he was in second year, and I know that I was still having the trouble adjusting people when I finished.
You feel ripped off, don't you? That's a big hex step a lot of misses or a lot of blanks in the column that should have some big ticks.
Well, it's amazing. You know, I think they talk about, I remember Phil throwing out some stats there when he said, I think the average, their numbers for the year in that student clinic adjusting is, I think they're supposed to see about 550 people in the year or something, and I think the average is about 700. So they're going above and beyond, you know. And when I was there, it was only, I think, 300, and pretty sure most of it was 300 in a year, you know. And God, if you threw those numbers at some of those greats like Reggie and Strauss and Sigafoos and all those guys, 300 in a year, and they laugh you off the damn stage. Sid Williams, a whole lot. And you can't become a master at anything if you've only done it 300 times in a year. And we just didn't get that roll on. But that's another story. I definitely think that the focus, obviously, from the universities, it makes sense to me that if you can graduate and focus purely on the one thing that you're offering people, that naturally, if they become the best at those, that would be a good thing for your institution. And then that would obviously reflect in the graduates and where they want to go. And, you know, unfortunately, people that I've got here that are thinking about chiropractic, people that I look after, and they say, you know, this seems pretty good. And I say, same thing, unfortunately, you're either going to New Zealand or you're going to Adelaide, and we can hook you up with great people there. It's just that Sydney is just not the place to be supporting, unfortunately, when you can come out with the same degree but know so much more, which would just obviously be so much better for you and make you so much of a better chiropractor that it makes sense just to go to the better places. Underneath our feet.